Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. It is Sam and Greg, 6 a.m. to 10 every Sunday morning. You can hear us. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Man, that was loud. Hey, as we get into the 8 o'clock hour on this 6th day of September, got to take a second and say happy birthday, a couple shout-outs. You know who's celebrating? Speaking of, we're going to talk basketball here in a minute. Kevin Willis.
Whoa.
Kevin Willis from the Atlanta Hawks. I don't know if he played. Yeah. He played for a couple other folks, but Kevin Willis, designer Kevin Willis.
Yes.
Men's fashion icon Kevin Willis. John Wall, also his birthday today. Rosie Perez.
I love the way she talks.
I know, man.
I love. You don't like the way she talks?
The way she talked. Oh, gosh. It like sandpaper.
No. I get it. It is an acquired taste. But a guy also, Idris Elba, his birthday today, too. But I got mad respect for somebody. All those people, too. But a guy who carved out a spot and nobody else can land on it. Now, think about that. In the world of show business, and in this case, comedy, to carve out an area that nobody else can come on to and occupy. And it was Jeff Foxworthy. And, I mean, you know, whole thing. Listen, years and years ago, he actually used to be part of a team. It was Foxworthy and somebody else, and he used to do the punchline here locally and all that. And he came into the radio station to cut some commercials late at night. That was the first time I met him years ago. I know him and John Smoltz are big buddies. But I think he's got another TV show.
He's the pride of Hapeville.
Is he really? Okay. I know where he was from, but
yes, very much.
I know he's.
Yeah, he's pride of Hapeville, man. He's a Southside. He's a Southside kid.
Okay.
He's a Southside kid.
But I mean,
went to Hapeville High School.
For him, his whole comedy, it doesn't bump up against anybody else's, and it's a path that he carved, and it's not easy to do, and it's sustained over these years. And people use that phrase. I'm sure he copywrote it, but you might be a redneck if. And I mean, that's his, and he doesn't do it in an offensive way. So it's really, and you know,
it's more of a humorist. He's more of a humorist.
Exactly.
To me, than just a stand-up comic. You know what I mean? And I think he get it from, and I haven't really talked to him about it, but there was a guy who used to do that.
I know who you're going to say.
Long time
I know
writer,
who you're going to say.
Columnist for the, yeah, yeah.
Louis
Go
Grizzard?
Ahead, go ahead, say it.
You going to say Louis Grizzard?
I think I think he takes a little bit of, I think he takes a page out of a Louis Grizzard, someone who's just a humorist, somebody who just sit down in the chair on your front porch and start telling you stories, and you sit around and listen and just laugh your you-know-what off. I think that, and sometimes you're laughing at yourself. You know what I mean? So yeah, so he's mastered that art. He really has.
When I first moved to Atlanta, when I first came here, when I came here off the cruise ship, and there were two things that stuck with me, and I was so happy.
You got a cruise ship to Atlanta? Whoa! A cruise ship to Atlanta? We ain't got no water. How you get a cruise ship here?
Anyway,
said you left the cruise ship.
I said I left the cruise ship
when I first came
to Atlanta. When I first came to Atlanta, I left the job.
You parking at Lake? You parking at Lake Lanier?
I'm just going to keep pushing ahead.
You got, nah, Greg, you got to explain yourself for that one. You can't just put that out there.
No, you Dylan, you tapping into this late. This is what Sam does, right? And get that Jefferson. See, this. Let's bring it back to the beginning of the show, all right? So we told Dylan, have this theme song ready when Sam and I starts arguing about something or he's pushing my buttons. And we told him, get the Jefferson's theme song ready. And he went, what? He didn't know what I was talking about. Dylan, I had a job.
He found it.
Yeah, he did. I had a job on a cruise ship, and when I left that job, I came to Atlanta. So that's what I was referring to.
Oh, okay. I was about to say you got to explore yourself, you know, geographically, because that don't pan out. I didn't know the inside joke though.
You got reeled in with a hook in your jaw by Sam. That's what he does.
Sam would have reeled me in on that one. He got me.
Actually, he wouldn't have reeled you in. He'd have got the hook caught in his finger. That's what would have happened. Anyway, there were two things.
That's a whole nother story.
Dylan, if you can bring the music down, let me tell what happened here. There are two things that I experienced when I first moved here, and they stuck with me. And you were talking about Louis Cazard, but the two things was, one, I heard Rogin Bailey in Clark Atlanta, so I heard some blues that made me think of Chicago and made me feel like a little bit of home was with me. But I had never heard of Louis Cazard, and I somehow tapped into it. There was a CD that he had left up at the station, and I looked at it, and I went, I got to hear this. And you ready for the title? And it was one of his most famous bits. I'd never understood what the hell an RC and a moon pie was. That was the thing. What is RC Cola and a moon pie? And that's like a thing down here, at least. Maybe it was. Maybe it still is. I don't know. But I found that.
Well, it was. I don't. You got to search for that now. You might find that in the front section of Cracker Barrel. When you go in Cracker Barrel, you might find it.
But it was kind of funny.
You got to search for RC and Moon Pie.
But y'all got to YouTube that, because I found it was kind of funny. I didn't expect it. And Louis Cazard talking about, you know, ordering the moon RC and the Moon Pie and going through that. And it was, like I said, it was kind of interesting. So it stayed with me. Anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Man, the NBA playoffs are going on. And I think for me, the story is Giannis again in this Milwaukee team, and our old coach Bud, who's about to get run out of these playoffs, got swept out by a team that a lot of people toward the end of the season were saying they're going to make some noise. And Pat Riley's got these guys and Spoelstra on all cylinders, and that's the Miami Heat. They go at it, and they are about to sweep the Defensive Player of the Year and this Milwaukee team, the one seed.
We got to see what kind of shape we got to see what kind of shape he's in, Greg.
Got
see
bad
what kind
ankle.
Of shape Giannis is in. He's and so we got to see what kind of shape he's in going out. He's played well throughout this time in the bubble. You hate for him to get to this stage of the season and have some things go awry. Yeah, there are great expectations for that team, and Mike Budenholzer knows there are great expectations for where that team should go, especially when you see the other team that should be there in the minds of a lot of people, Philadelphia, fall by the wayside. And so, you know, everybody's thinking there's going to be this matchup. They get there to the end. And then Toronto, they seem to have hit a little something. And everybody was thinking that they're a team that's been showing well. It's the unexpected all of a sudden in the NBA playoffs. The Lakers dropping the first game in their series. You know, and I think one of the things they need, Rajon Rondo is healthy again, and maybe that's right at the nick of time. You talked earlier about LeBron referring to Houston's speed, but also maybe, you know, they took the ball out of his hands a little bit. LeBron is, I don't say LeBron has the ball too much, but, you know, get a point guard in Rondo that can allow LeBron to do some different things. And I think if he's healthy and good to go this next game, maybe you see more of him and maybe you see a little bit of a difference for the Lakers. That's something that they have been missing.
Well, two things as far as that matchup with the Rockets and the Lakers. A, I think the Lakers were just kind of sitting back and they don't care one way or the other who wins that first game. They don't care about home court advantage. LeBron has never cared about that. We've seen that throughout his career. But what's going on with this Houston team? A, I'm so upset that they're there. They're the last team I wanted there. I wanted them to get knocked out by OKC. That's the story. After shipping off Chris Paul and sending him there and OKC taking these guys to seven games, and once again James Harden not showing any of the defense prowess that he should have, being considered the level player that he is. But yet I'd be damned if he didn't do just that. Ending that series with a couple of defensive stops.
Yeah, how about
stops.
That? How
so
about
he,
that?
Listen, he finally showed up on a defensive end, but I still wanted that team to go. I think they brought that energy to their first game. You can say the Lakers had some rust, whatever. But, yes, they did show some speed to the Lakers that they weren't expecting. But I think that was something that the Lakers wanted to see. They wanted to see what these guys had. They were still, you know, the adrenaline was still going from winning that seven-game series. Obviously, they weren't tired, and the Lakers needed to scrape off a little bit of rust to prepare for this team. And I think they're savvy enough and experienced enough to went, okay, now we see what we're dealing with. We'll be ready for game two. Now, if that doesn't happen, that changes you know, that's a whole different episode of Oprah. But right now, that's my perspective on what the Lakers are going to go into with this Houston team. But, man, I wanted them out so bad. I wanted I got a problem with the beard. I've had one for the longest time. Nothing against I just hate that dude's game. I can't stand it. I know he's one of the greatest offensive forces this league has seen, but still, I ain't a fan of his game. And I'm in a long line of people who feel that way. But in his exit and that team's exit in the first round, you know, look, they already got the coach who's coaching, D'Antoni, has already got a job waiting for him. They already got this dude fired, and he's supposedly going to Indiana next.
Is that something?
You know what I mean? Openly something? Talk about
he's
it.
He's already
right?
ticketed to be somewhere else. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That is amazing.
That's
they already
why I want
got
him
ticketed.
Gone.
And oh, by the way, there's some people who are like frowning at this move that the Nets made this week with Steve Nash. And some people are feeling like, okay, you're going to bring this guy in the job, you know, and he's got to get along with some big egos, man. Can Steve Nash hold those egos? Because a lot of people felt like Jock Vaughn should have gotten a shot at it. I mean, he took that team into the playoffs without their full complement of players, with none of the stars, really, and took them into the playoffs, into the postseason. Didn't he deserve a shot at coaching the team with the full complement of healthy players? Not just guys who are on the payroll and getting paid, but guys who are on the payroll and actually playing. And so it seems like Steve Nash has gotten the nod to come in and do that job. And there's some people who are kind of looking at that with a little bit of a skunk eye, but we'll see. I mean, that's a big responsibility and a big challenge to go in and keep those egos in place and see if that team can live up to what its potential is.
Steve Nash is one of them dudes that, for whatever reason, any sort of success he gets on a big stage, it is met with arrows coming from all directions. It started when he got back-to-back MVPs, and he didn't deserve them, and Kobe should have got them, and that. So he had to deal with that and hearing that when he won those awards. Now he gets, you know, those last couple years, I think, was with the Lakers. He caught some grief for some things that he had done there. Now you get this hiring this past week, okay? And let's just throw it out there. Stephen A. and I don't know how many other people's uttered the phrase white privilege when he got that job. And then Stephen A. came back and described it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. It wasn't the same as when Doc Rivers, because he was saying, you know, first year coach, never had any experience, blah, blah, blah. And you could name a handful of other black coaches who did have that. But their argument was they're not stepping into a team with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Whatever the case, those two superstars signed off on it. So that's all you need to know. Okay, yeah. You can argue about whether or not he deserved the job or not, but here you go. You got Kyrie Irving, who doesn't want to be a one. We saw that in Boston when he had that opportunity. So he wants to be the facilitator, if you will, but he's still a top guard. But he ain't never won. Has he won an MVP? I don't think so. So there's a guy who's now his coach who's won an MVP at his same position. You don't have to tell Kevin Durant nothing. He's going to be who he is. But as far as running a team – And again, Kyrie Irving has been that point guard on a championship team. I just think there's little nuances that he's welcoming from Steve Nash as they get ready to put this Brooklyn Nets team, the new version of it, together next season. And they don't have a problem with it. They don't care about the past. And as far as the other coaches who are sitting out there, the Mark Jacksons and the Ty Lues, I think Durant and Kyrie Irving know what kind of coaches they are and know what they bring. And maybe they just wanted a different voice. I just figure it's as simple as that. They know what those guys are going to bring in. He said, wait a minute. Yeah. This dude is talking a little bit more my language. And they're comfortable with that. So anyway, that's my take on it. I'm going to get a little bit more NBA talk before we get on out of here. But up next, college football is up and running, and a guy who's got many, many opinions about it is Chris Mahler. He's from Saturdays Down South. He's going to join us next. Sam Gregg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It's Sam and Gregg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
Check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. We were acknowledging the birthday of Waffle House today turned 65, or yesterday was actually a date. This is also a date that yesterday turned 65. Yeah.
Okay.
You better, you know, you listen, don't mess with me anymore. You gotta be worked up. I'm gonna talk like Rosie Perez the rest of this show, otherwise.
Oh.
Your favorite girl. College football got started this week. It was just one of those things where I don't know what it was expecting. I didn't know what I was going to watch. You still got two conferences, the major conferences that are sitting out, but everybody within those conferences are trying to bust out and just get out there and play somehow, some way. And listen, the guy who we've had on for the last month or so, off and on, giving his perspective, I couldn't wait to hear what he had to say after this first week. So from Saturday Down South, and right there off of Ponce de Leon, or is it North Avenue, where Ponce City Market is?
Right on Ponce, man. Right on, yeah. Ponce from his engagement. You know, why don't you put your hands together one time and show your love.
Yeah,
to Chris Mahler. Coming to the stage.
That's good. That's a good intro. I love that.
I give you the Steve Harvey introduction. Apollo introduction.
How many minutes of really good, like if I said, we got you on, pick the show, you know, Ellen, one of the nighttime shows, and we need you to do X amount of strong minutes. How many strong minutes of comedy do you have, stand up?
Oh, strong?
Yeah.
15, 20. Maybe I could do. It just depends. It depends on the way of confidence. I feel like that sometimes I can get riding. That's where that really, really find some success there. But I've done an hour before when I was very young into it, but I wouldn't say it was good comedy back then. I'll definitely admit that. But yeah, 20, 30 minutes, I can do that.
You know what? I'm sorry, Sam, because we're going to get into football, but this is actually something relevant.
Yeah, we will. I know it.
No, it is. It's relevant right now. Right. I don't think if you think I'm going where I'm going here, but there's actually a thing right now, given the state of the world with this pandemic, it's got to be tough doing comedy right now in this environment.
Yeah, 2020 is not the best climate at all for jokes and people laughing at anything. And to be fair, I'm not like a family friendly PG comic, I will say that finding enough people to really put all of their sensitivity aside on things in 2020 is a pretty tall task.
Yeah, I figured it had to be tough. And listen, the top comedians are all saying I'm not going back to colleges either. Playing colleges now is just crazy.
Yeah, you see, like one of the best gigs, because you can, like when you would do that, it would just be a series of colleges. So you would put together, you know, a whole little tour almost and go to about 15, 20 of these colleges and have a blast. I don't know if you ever drink in a college town after you got out of college and you have a real job, but it is fantastic because, you know, the prices of the drinks still stay the same. But now it is not as much fun. People seem to be offended by anything.
No.
Yeah. Well, joining us on the waitfor.com hotline, freshman's engagement at Ponce City Market last night, Chris Mahler from Saturday Down South. You can follow him on Twitter at Vern Funquist. At Vern Funquist is where you follow him on Saturday Down South. Chris, you know, Gregg, someone everyone was kind of looking at a couple of weeks ago and saying, man, you look just like the guy.
Y'all need to just stop. I ain't got nothing to do
like
with
Kevin
that.
Warren, the Big Ten Commissioner. Now he don't want to come out of the house. He looks like Kevin Warren, man. Tell us about this stuff with the Big Ten, once from the outside looking in And what advice would you have for Greg? Should he have like a big mustache on?
I ain't worried about it because the commissioner didn't shut down the league. 11-3 were the votes by the presidents. So that Kevin Warren had nothing to do with shutting down the Big Ten. The presidents of the universities did it. Now, Chris, go ahead.
I'll just go ahead and correct that right now. The fact that Kevin Warren, he wasn't involved in the final vote, but that's only because he wasn't involved in enough prior to the final vote, with any kind of communication in that whole conference. And, you don't have to wear a mustache or anything like that, but maybe some glasses, maybe just a bag. Maybe a bag is an old Cleveland Browns fan. Just if you want to go out in public, especially in the Midwest. Like in the South, I don't think people are going to recognize it, but it is one of those things where, and we saw it yesterday on College Game Day where Desmond Howard, notable Big Ten alum, he kind of felt that he had made the right decision. And there's a lot of people that feel that way. I personally don't. I personally think that, if it's a safety thing, and I think one of the things that makes this whole situation so complicated is that we don't have, they also have a comfortable czar. We don't have a comfortable czar. We also don't have one medical expert we're going to for advice. It's a different person from conference to conference. So everyone's kind of being pulled in their own separate way based off the advice that they've been given from their own separate medical experts. The Big Ten, I think it just probably handled it the worst out of all five Power Five conferences because, as we found out this week, yet another medical expert who came out on Monday and said 30-35% of these athletes who tested positive all showed signs of myocarditis. And then 3 days later, lo and behold, we find out that's not true. So it's just been a circus, and I think it's something that he could have definitely prevented. And just the optics of it that looks so bad from the outside looking in. And I tell you, the other part that doesn't help either, Kevin Warren, this person who's kind of trying to take this high and mighty approach about player safety. One, player safety is really hard to stick to that platform if you're saying we're going to move the season to February because of player safety, but then we're also going to play two full seasons of football in the same 10-month cycle. And the other part that doesn't look good from an optics standpoint is the fact that Kevin Warren's own son is going to be playing football at Mississippi State this fall. So it's just not been a great look for Kevin Warren this year.
Chris Marlin joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sorry, Sam, I shouldn't jump in. I'll save my question.
No, you would say, well, we are going to play down here in the South, and Georgia this week had a defection at quarterback out of the blue. What does this do to their chances? Because I've been thinking at some point we might see Alabama and Georgia play three times this season. But what does this do to the fact that now Georgia, with just 2 weeks to go, got to establish a starter at quarterback?
Yeah, it puts a lot more pressure on a guy like JT Daniels to come in and be ready and not just understand that new playbook and that, the scheme that new offensive coordinator Todd Monken's going to be having with the Georgia offense. But the biggest thing is, from a depth standpoint, now you're not looking as solid at the quarterback position going into a year where, I hate to use this word because you hear it all the time, unprecedented times of a 10-game schedule. It's hard to stay healthy against, defenses that play SEC football for that long. I will say the Jamie Newman thing, it did come out of the blue. It was a little bit surprising. But when you really look at it, it kind of makes the most sense. And I don't think that, I don't want to say Jamie Newman was scared of competition at all, but when you start thinking big picture stuff, what really, he had so much more to lose than he had to gain as a NFL draft pick. If you really think about it, man, he kind of, I don't say he finessed Georgia, but man, like he really rode this wave of momentum that he had had this offseason where you tell my guy put at Wake Forest and then goes into UGA and all this hype comes out of nowhere where he all of a sudden has like top five Heisman odds. Is being projected as a first-round draft pick. And what if he goes and starts at Georgia and somehow loses his starting job to a freshman, JT Daniels, which we've seen with Kirby could easily happen the way he manages his quarterback. So I think he made the right decision. I think Georgia, they still have a very good chance of getting to the SEC championship, getting to the national championship, and it has nothing to do with the quarterback position. The quarterback, you're going to have to win a game at quarterback every single year. Like, there's going to be one game where like that guy has got to put you on his back and go win you a football game. But that defense this year, Georgia, is going to be what I think get them to the national championship, maybe win the national championship, because I don't see a lot of people scoring points on that team.
You know, Chris, players defecting, opting out, whatever you want to call it, that's still a fluid situation, and we're going to see with some of these other big programs where that happens. But one of the other things that's in play here is these new guidelines. Big 12 are dealing with it right now, where the teams have to have, if they got 53 players, there has to be so many linemen, so many linebackers, so on and so forth. And the SEC and ACC are both scrambling to make sure that's happened too. These benchmarks for minimum roster size, that has become an issue. Do you see that being a problem moving forward once guys start testing positive and so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest issues, maybe not the biggest issues, but there are going to be issues this season that we have not seen happen in college football before. And it's going to happen. I think figuring out a way to deal with it and address it and really manage it, it's just one more thing these college football coaches are going to have to do in a year where, you know, like, listen, I don't think people are going to make that many excuses for them because, you know, they're already getting paid enough money, but at the same time, like, right, you've had a lot of months in place to kind of figure out a plan. But yeah, if you look what happened at LSU, we talked about it last week, and having your entire offensive line out. You talked about Texas State yesterday. I was playing SMU, didn't have a tight end on the roster because all their tight ends got COVID, right, couldn't play in the game. So they had offensive linemen having to play a position and learn it within the week. And so I think you're going to see stuff like that. I think what you're really going to see is unique ways to manage it, whether it's, I know yesterday Sonny Dykes at SMU had defense in one side, in one locker room, offense in the other. You've seen this stuff where the first and third string quarterback will be grouped together, but the second string won't. The same with a lot of other position units, so they don't have to be around like the backup center around the starters just in case something, you know, catastrophe strikes. So I think having to manage that, it's going to be difficult. But, like, at some point this season, there's going to be a star player or a unit even on a contending team that's going to catch it. And how do you deal with it? And I think it's just yet another obstacle and variable that's going to factor in this year.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking about this because we're seeing it in baseball to some extent. These guys got a 60-game sprint. They're at game 40 or thereabouts right now. And you're seeing – I've seen it last week. I've never seen more position players – come in and pitch. You know, normally you see that when it's a blowout, but you see these guys pitch to save the bullpen. They just need to get one out because of the rules that are in place. These college teams, if they don't have the required players at these positions, they're going to start. They have to forfeit the game. And so you see these guys, I don't know if they have these players that came in from high school that were a quarterback when they were there, but now they're playing wide receiver or defensive back or whatever it is. But you're right, they're going to have to mix and match, and some of these guys go into positions that heretofore, at least through camps, they haven't played at. And that's going to be even more interesting, but it also leaves themselves open for more injuries too.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I tell you what, I don't know how much of that is really – because of what we're seeing with COVID and how much of it is just that Brian Snitker is just a really bad manager for the Braves. So just, I want to throw that out there. But yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. The hot take, I know. But I think you're right. It's going to be hard to enforce that. It's going to be really hard to enforce that, I think, with, because if you're telling me, like Jimbo Fisher, who left Florida State in absolute shambles and just one of the worst ways possible, and just stopped recruiting. And there, that's an offensive line that was just in pieces for multiple years. That's the reason why DeAndre Francois and James Blackman were constantly getting beat up so badly, because Jimbo just stopped recruiting. They didn't have enough offensive line players to actually play offensive line. They had defensive linemen that had to play and start, like, game one. I think it was, like, 2018 season. I think that kind of stuff is going to happen this season, where you're going to have somebody playing out of position that maybe he's a former athlete that played it in high school, and they switch him over. But at the same time, you're going to be, it's going to be really hard pressed for people to enforce that. Because I tell you what, if it gets down to the Iron Bowl, for instance, and talk about Bama Auburn, second to last week of the season, and or even the SEC championship game, and for some reason COVID hits, and there's no way that somebody's going to enforce that game, that team, either one of those teams is like, you know what, you guys have to forfeit this game because you don't have enough people at this position. Like, no, we'll find someone to play tight end. We'll find someone to play safety or whatever. I don't think you're going to have, you know, fat guy touchdowns like playing quarterback. I don't think you're going to have like a number off, like an offensive lineman, like number 74, dropping back in the shotgun.
Watch that in a minute.
But, I know, right? Yeah, just like instead of
that would be fun.
7-on-7 option football with only offensive linemen. I would watch it immediately.
Hey, listen, Chris, pencil his time in every week. We're going to have you on once a week, man. We'll promote your shows, your comedy shows, your stand-up shows, but we got to get this dollars from you weekly. You good with that?
Of course. I'm going to go.
Where are you going to be next? Where are you going to be next?
So I don't have any comedy shows planned up next.
Where are you going to be next?
I'm not sure yet. Hopefully someone's listening. They're going to book me on the next show at some point soon. I think my next show is honestly the end of the month. In September with a good friend of mine, Holly Ballantyne, who's the producer of a show, and Damon Sumner. I will get the information, and next Sunday, I promise I'll have it for you.
All right. That sounds like a plan. Sam, you cool with him having, our boy come back on?
Cool, man.
All right. Just making sure.
Absolutely, man.
Anyway, Chris, listen, we appreciate it. Have a good day. Enjoy your weekend. Be careful tomorrow. It's an amateur day. I don't have time to get into the whole thing.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Y'all have a great day as well. Talk to y'all soon.
Take care. Chris Mahler, Saturday Down South, joining Sam and Greg. We're going to come back to some other sports going on. We're going to talk about them. I got a comment on the heels of what he said about what's going on with the Pac-12 and Big Ten. We'll come back with that next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app.
Okay.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg every Sunday morning, 6 a.m. until 10. Also, check us out on the radio.com app. All your devices, including smart speakers. Ms. Crenshaw, how you doing?
I coached Dylan through this one because he didn't know about this one. He didn't know about Gap Band.
I told him we play. You dropped a bomb on me and Martin Mando, but he discredited that. He said everybody know that one.
Everybody know that.
You want to read? If you're just joining us the first time, Dylan is our producer this morning. Jahi is doing other shows. There needed to be some switching around. He may rejoin us here soon. But Dylan, a card-carrying proud millennial, is reminding us and has throughout the weekend we'll be
talking. Car carrying?
Yeah. That we are ancient. And when we bring up references, we ask him about certain things. He looks at us like deer in the headlights, and that's okay. I'm used to that. So we have mentioned some songs. We mentioned some TV shows to him, and we get this, huh? What? But he's been nice to his elders today. You know, it's like going to the family house and, Grandpa, can we get y'all something to eat? You want another piece of chicken, Grandpa? You want some mac and cheese on that plate? That's what he's doing. He's talking to us like that.
But Greg, I do have to say this real quick. You actually seem young. You actually younger than everybody else seems because you got that young spirit. You being in that Sprite commercial, I don't see you in that Sprite commercial so many times with my other millennial peers.
That means you've been to a lot of movies, right? You've been to a lot of movies.
No, they ain't showing that. Not in the movies, man.
Yeah,
man,
that commercial everywhere, Sam.
Yeah, that's all because of Cody Shane, though. That's her career popping off, not me. I'm just happy. Every time you guys tell me that you've seen it, all I hear in the back of my head is a little cha-ching. So I'm thankful that you guys have been hearing it. Because, listen, I thought it was on the shelf forever for a while there. But, then, yeah, when the NBA started again, I've been hearing folks telling me, and I'm like, thank you. Oh, and the same thing for those of you telling me you've been watching Richard Jewell on HBO. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How about that?
So, yeah, I'm cool with that. You made me lose my train of thought. You got me thinking. Oh, you know, we were talking about some of the events that happened on this day. You know, Martina Navratilova asking for asylum here in America. She showed up at the U.S. Open and decided, I ain't going back to Czechoslovakia. And the rest is history. But this was the day that Ripken broke Gehrig's record. Cal Ripken extended his game streak to, what was it? Yep. I want to make sure I get this right here. 2,131 straight games, breaking Lou Gehrig's record. It was on this day back in 1995.
At Camden Yards.
Yeah.
And one of the treasured records. So, I mean, that was great to see. One thing that happened yesterday, 60 years ago yesterday, Muhammad Ali won his gold medal in the Olympics. 60 years ago yesterday.
You know what? We're going to go off road here for a minute because, and I don't mean to embarrass you, but this is one of those sort of events that we need to bring Dylan on for because we need to teach some folks what happened after that. There was a significant event that happened after Ali won. So, Dylan, if you can join us, if you got a second?
Yes, for sure. I got you.
Do you know what happened to Ali's medal?
I do not. I have no idea at all. So this is going to be a good history lesson for me.
Did you know that he threw it in the Ohio? The Ohio River.
Ohio River. He threw it?
He threw it in the Ohio River when he got back from Rome.
And
right there in his hometown of Louisville.
Yeah, threw it.
And why did he do that?
Sam, I'll let you pick it up from here.
If you
don't know
what?
I'll continue.
Basically, some stuff that's happening today, just the way of treatment. He wanted to go into a place and he wasn't received that way. And he felt like he had gone and served the country and had gone and represented the country to win the gold medal and came back and found out that he was still a second-class citizen.
That's what
so
I figured.
He took his gold medal and
wanted to be sure.
Threw it into water. Ironically, both of you, as there were marches yesterday outside the gates of Churchill Downs.
Yes, there were.
In Louisville. You know, people remember Breonna Taylor, and so I kind of figured with Kentucky Derby weekend, there were also some things that happened. My old Kentucky home, which a lot of people have disputed the words of that song and its meaning, yesterday was not sung by the crowd. The long trumpeter played it as the horses were led out to start the race. So that was kind of hanging over the city of Louisville, like you said, on this 60th anniversary of Ali winning that gold medal that he would toss into the water, which was restored to him.
Well, yeah, I was just going to bring that up.
In the 96 games.
That was the year Dylan was born.
Go ahead, because you were here in town when that.
I was, yeah.
You were here in the town when that happened.
Dylan, so yes, he throws the medal. And by the way, I would love to know the number of divers that actually have gone down into the Ohio River looking for that thing since 1960 or whenever whenever he told people that's what he did with it. Diver after diver, year. It's like going down when they were looking for the Titanic. Folks have been looking for that medal ever since. Nobody's ever found it, or at least they haven't said anything about it. So he comes back from Rome in 60 to deal with what Sam was talking about, having to eat in different restaurants, drinking in different fountains. But let's not also gloss over the fact that he also had a broken heart a little bit. You remember that story? He kind of fancied Wilma Rudolph. And Wilma Rudolph wouldn't give him the time of day. She was pointing her interest toward Rayford Johnson, as the story has been told. So Rayford Johnson sort of stole the woman that Muhammad Ali, then Cassius Clay, wanted to get to know. So all of that thrown into a blender, he comes back home and he deals with all that. But anyway, cut to 1996. At the 96 Olympics, Dream Team number 2. And I believe Jordan actually showed up for this ceremony, but they brought Ali out.
Yeah, he walked out on the floor with him.
Yeah, some of the guys from the first Dream, the first Dream Team, the Dream Team, if you will, came and joined the second Dream Team here in Atlanta, and they all came out and awarded Muhammad Ali with a gold medal, replacing the one that he threw into the Ohio River. And that was done here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So there you go, Dylan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's
super
cool.
Did you know about the medal being given to him?
I did not. I didn't know about either one of those stories. So that's super cool and definitely good to have in the old sports knowledge bank. So I appreciate the wisdom, guys.
There you go. It's one of those things you bring up at a party at some point or you win a Trivial Pursuit or somewhere down the road.
Also didn't know Ali, got his girl took. That's kind of sad too,
It wasn't his girl to be taken.
Well,
Either way,
but you know what though, you know what though, and this will get into a little HBCU tale because I've talked with a number of Wilma Rudolph's track team who lives here in town, who remembers those days. Ali was from Louisville, Tennessee State is in Nashville. He visited that campus frequently to see Wilma, and one of her teammates who lives here in town told that story to us and how he really was quite smitten, with her. and their ability. So yeah, they were an item. At least he wanted that to be an item. And you know, and that's tough for a guy like Ali, because Ali kind of, you know, he fancied the ladies now, and you know, he kind of had his pick.
But you know what you think
and
about?
That was one that he couldn't.
You're right, Sam. But here's the thing, though. He wasn't Ali then. He was still Cassius Clay, and he was still trying to. He was still finding his identity. That the Ali that we know and the one that became who he became was still in the beginning stages. It's like when Deion talks about going to Florida State. When he got to Florida State, he was in prime time, but he invented in his dorm room, you know, during his time at Florida State. That's where, you know, the egg was launched when he got there, and it you know, prime time came out. You know, he hatched while he was there. So I think that
according.
Go ahead.
According to Wilma's roommate, he was always loud. They always knew when he was. They always knew when he came to campus. They always knew he was there. he was always loud.
So that's
something that she recalls.
Either way,
I got. While we're talking HBCUs, and go ahead.
All I was gonna say is either way it go, he shot a shot and it got blocked, and that's a sad day whenever that happens to a brother.
Well, I can't really argue with you because that happens to all of us. Ain't a man on the planet hasn't had that happen, so we all relate to that.
Yeah, we've all been there. We can all identify with that. We're talking HBCUs, and usually we've had Jaheed doing a segment around this time doing our show in recent weeks, Stomp the Yard. Do have a little HBCU news that we saw this week out at the Tour Championship. And we know that's going on. The top 30 golfers in the world come out. The first tee program, which is right there, the Charlie Yates course, was right out from East Lake, is also by Drew Charter School. And people who are familiar with the first tee program and how it provides golf and opportunity for golf in some underfunded communities across the country. But part of the revitalization of that East Lake community was the first tee program and a course that they can use, they can play on. The kids start when they're in elementary school. That's part of, you know, things they learn. They learn to play basketball, any other sport, and they also learn to play golf. Each year, they have a golfer off the golf team at Drew or out of the first tee program to hit the ceremonial first ball. And one of those guys was a young man named Solomon Dobbs. His last year in high school, they won the state championship there at Drew, the first all-black boys team to win a Georgia State High School golf championship. He's now a freshman at Morehouse College. On Thursday, there was a pro-am, a nine-hole pro-am. You had Zach Johnson and Jerome Bettis playing with Ryan Palmer and Vince Carter. And everybody was mic'd up. It was a lot of fun. Watched it. It was on Golf Channel. And on the 15th hole, they got to hit it to an island green over the water. And Solomon Dobbs had closest to the pin. It was a great moment there on live TV. He gets out the shot, and he makes it. So tip of the cap to first of all, everyone, East Lake, that event raised $1 million for East Lake Foundation, which supports First Tee program, among other things in that community. But also shining a spotlight on HBCU golfer. And also, Ja'Kari Harris was a young lady who came out of the First Tee program who played golf at Hampton University. And it was great to see the spotlight shine. Yep. So it was great to see both of them having a spotlight on them there at East Lake this week.
You brought up the Derby. We didn't mention the winner. Authentic. Outduels Tis the Law.
Authentic.
Yeah, that's what I said. Authentic.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Authentic. Wire to wire.
Really? That was the other thing, too. I kept waiting for Tis the Law. One of them catch him. Yeah, you're right. Wire to wire. You don't see that often. And it was a beautiful day. The only thing that was really missing were fans in the stands, because I was sitting there watching it.
Yeah.
And as much as the announcer was his voice was, you know, effervescent and over the top, and he was calling it, but you had that one element missing. And the thing is, we're kind of used to it with the other sports because they're piping in crowd noise. But they didn't do that at Churchill Downs, which they really can't. And see, that's the thing. You can hear it with the horses. If they don't do that at the Indy 500 or NASCAR races or whatever, we don't hear it because you hear the cars. But with the horses running, it was noticeably absent. That's just the way I look.
Yeah, yeah. The horses on the track there. Horses under the hood. Horses under the hood up at Darlington tonight. Chase Elliott's on the pole for the Southern 500. That's the first race of the playoffs. And Lewis Hamilton's on the pole for the Italian Grand Prix, which kicks off here in about a half hour.
Coming up at the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to talk to our own Mike Conte, get an update on what's going on with Atlanta United and the Falcons. It was cut day yesterday, 4 o'clock. So folks got set pack, and of course a lot of them will come back out of the practice squads. So we'll talk to Mike about that, but up next, we'll talk some baseball. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.